Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for meditation this morning is from Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 27. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed, and ran up to Jesus and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Thus far, our text. In the name of Jesus, the one in whom we can place our trust unwavering, dear fellow redeemed, there are many activities that require a lot of trust. Bungee jumping is one of them. You have to trust the person running it that they had it thoroughly investigated and inspected, and that it's safe to use. How about a cab driver, making sure he gets you to the right location? Or a military commander that he's not going to send you into an ambush? Even when we encounter drivers on the road on a daily basis, it requires you to trust them at least a little bit. Trust has woven itself into the very fabric of our lives. We could hardly go anywhere outside of our house without it. Trust is necessary because of the unknown. Without being able to see what is directly in front of you, what someone else is thinking, or what unforeseen obstacle might appear, you need to trust completely. To a greater extent, this is true when it comes to your spiritual well-being. Faith requires a lot of trust too. Trust that God is going to keep his promises, that Jesus is who he says he is, and so on and so forth. Without trust, faith is susceptible to fail, to stumble in doubt, and to shatter in unbelief. Such was the case in our text for this morning. The man with the demon-possessed child let his trust dwindle to almost nothing when Jesus' disciples couldn't cast out the demon. The disciples likewise showed how their faith had faltered when they weren't able to do what this man had asked. Both the man and the disciples received a cure that day. A cure for that lingering doubt that had settled into their hearts. And so our theme that we will be considering this morning is Jesus cures our unbelief. During Jesus' day, demon possession was quite common. With the large pagan presence around them, Satan and his demons thrived. They could control an entire town or village through fear over one demon-possessed person. Or he can appeal to man's greed, as was the case of the demon-possessed girl who told the future, the girl whom Paul healed when he was in Philippi. Demon possession was something that was very real and had very real consequences and dangers. Wherever the word of God is cast away, even in our day today, the workers of Satan will thrive. Now Jesus, Peter, James, and John were all returning to the other disciples following the awe-filled events on the mountain of Jesus' transfiguration. When they came to where the other nine were, there was an argument going on between the nine disciples and the scribes, centering around the disciples' inability to cast out a demon that possessed a young boy. Now, earlier in his ministry, Jesus had granted his disciple that very ability to cast out demons and even to heal diseases. This was when he had sent them out two by two into the neighboring towns and villages to preach the gospel. These gifts of healing were granted to them in order to confirm the word that they preached and the power by which they came. These were not charismatic gifts like you see some people claim to have today. This was something granted to them by God for a specific time and a specific purpose, backed by God's power and not the disciples. When the disciples returned from their ventures, they rejoiced greatly because they were able to do exactly what Jesus had commanded them to do. They cast out demons. They healed the sick by his name. But fast forward to this account, and everything is vastly different. They were not able to cast out the demon in this child. To make the matter worse, their failure cast a wave of doubt over the people, opening the door for the scribes to try and challenge and discredit Jesus and his followers. Jesus asked the question, "What are you arguing about with them?" This was addressed to the scribes, but it was the father of the possessed child who answered Jesus. The man answered how this demon had afflicted his child, making him mute and epileptic. Ever since this child's youth, he has been possessed, and it even has tried to kill the child multiple times. In a desperate act of love, the father takes a chance on the followers of the great teacher, Jesus. Jesus' reputation preceded him. They knew he was a great healer. And most likely the same was true of his disciples. They had heard of the healings that even they had done. But when the disciples were unable to cast out the demon, all hope was lost. It affected the father so much that even when Jesus arrived, there remained doubt in his heart. when he says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. But Jesus' words are very striking. Oh, faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. These words struck like a knife into his disciples. They had forgotten who had given them the power to cast out demons and to heal in the first place. They were acting no better than their kin, who assumed favor with God solely because they're children of Abraham. Here the disciples thought they just had the power to do these miracles on their own, rather than trusting in the one who had given them that power. Don't we also fall into the same temptation? God has given each one of you tremendous gifts. But do we always remember who gave them to us? Do we remember who it is that put breath in our lungs, strength in our bones to make use of such talents? Even as Christians, we have a difficult time keeping our focus on God, especially when we're overwhelmed. It can be difficult to see past our troubles in order to affirm our trust in Jesus to be our Savior. Do you remember Jesus' words in Matthew 17, verse 20? If you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. It doesn't take such great faith. It just takes faith. Whether it comes with casting out a demon, facing down another week of work, dealing with sickness and death, or whatever other obstacle in our lives, faith in Jesus, your God, is the power to overcome it. If the disciples had continued to trust in Jesus' power to cast out the demon, they would have been successful. Instead, they trusted their own ability, and they failed miserably. Their failure to trust in God didn't just affect them, but it cast doubt in the heart of the Father. Remember his words, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. The father had faith, but he admits, nay, he shouts out that his faith is not where it should be. Yes, he believes that Jesus can heal his son, but his faith is weak. And this is what he is asking Jesus to help him overcome. Strengthen his faith so that he does not waver, but can firmly trust that whatever he asks of God, it will be done according to God's will. This man's confession is not an easy one, but it is necessary and important. It is a confession that we go through every single Sunday, though we may not always realize it. It is good and proper to confess our shortcomings before God. While we might trust for a time, we often waver in matters that are under God's control. rather than turning to our own power to overcome, or being uncertain if God is able or even willing to help me. Let us boldly turn to our Savior, who loves us, and implore of Him His grace and mercy to overcome our weaknesses. Trust doesn't come easily. More often than not, it has to be earned and built over time. But Jesus has given you the best reason to trust Him. He healed this demon-possessed boy, showing His compassion. He raised Lazarus from the dead, showing His power over your greatest enemy, death in the grave. He went to the cross in your place, and He died to win the forgiveness of your sins, showing that He loves you more than anything else in this world. In all of creation, you are the most precious thing to God. No greater reason is needed to place our trust in the One who gave us an option outside of eternal death, who forged the pathway to heaven, and now carries us with Himself to the pearly gates of glory. At the very end of the section, it wasn't included in our text this morning, the disciples asked Jesus, "Why weren't we able to cast out this demon?" Jesus said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." His point was this: even when the disciples were unable to cast out this demon, they still could have prayed in confidence to the Lord to grant them success to the glory of His name. When you are in times of doubt or struggle to find a pathway forward, pray. Pray to the One who walked through the gates of hell to proclaim victory over Satan and his demons, over death and the grave, over sin and our doubting. Pray that the Lord of hosts will grant you His strength to overcome for the sake of Jesus Christ. There is no doubt He will hear you and answer you, because that is the very reason that He died for you: to give you that access to God, to give you salvation from sin and eternal life with Him. There will be days where trust does not readily appear. In those days, remember the words of the Father in this account: "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." And Jesus does cure our unbelief. Amen. Please rise. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.